Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 48, and we'll do verses 9 to 11. Isaiah 48, 9 to 11. It says this: "For the sake of my name, I delay my wrath, and for my praise, I restrain it for you, in order not to cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." Verse 11, for my own sake, I will act. For how can my name be profaned, and my glory I will not give to another? Let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for this morning, and we ask that you would reveal who you are during this time. And Lord, we ask for your presence here. God, give us understanding and wisdom. We want to honor you and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So you notice in just these three short verses that God is emphasizing himself. He's saying it's for my own name that he delays my wrath and my praise. In verse 11, for my own sake, and he says it again, for my own sake. It's because of me I will act. And his name, my name will not be profaned, and he won't give his glory. He says, my glory I will not give to another. Up until about the year 1543, people could talk about, fathers could put their arms around their kids and say, you know, son, daughter, the universe revolves around us. But it wasn't until Copernicus and Galileo and others that discovered that the Earth wasn't the center of the universe. Up until that point, scientists thought that the Earth was the center of the universe and everything else revolved around the Earth. And then Copernicus realized that that's not true. It's the sun, and all the planets in the universe revolve around the sun. And so when God looks at the center of the universe, unfortunately, he doesn't look at you. And he's trying to explain that in verse 48, that God exists not for us, but we exist for him. We exist to make a big deal out of him. And so, in other words, it's not about you, and it's not about me. It's all about him. And so just like that discovery in 1543, where they discovered that the universe doesn't revolve around us, in our lives we have to come to that understanding that the world doesn't revolve around us. It revolves around God. And we know that in our minds, but I think subconsciously or unconsciously we don't understand that totally in our hearts, and we don't necessarily live that out, that whenever there's something, you know, you get bad service at a restaurant and you know, we get upset. And it's natural to be upset. You can be upset. That's nothing wrong with being upset with when somebody treats you badly or accidentally spills, you know, a liquid or cup on you. And yeah, you know, you could be upset. That's, you know, your clothes are ruined or whatever. But I think overall, as an example, we have this understanding, well, the world revolves around me. And we're naturally bent that way. That's natural for us. As children, we have to teach our children that the world doesn't revolve around you, the child. And to get away from self-centeredness to selflessness. And if you read it, or if you know Greek mythology, you may know vaguely the story of Narcissus. And he was unbelievably handsome. Every girl wanted him, but he wanted no one. And so he broke many girls' hearts everywhere he went. And finally, a scorned maiden finally prayed to the gods, "May he who loves not others love himself." And the story goes where the goddess Nemesis heard this anguish, angry prayer and actually answered it. So one day, as Narcissus bent over to this pool of water to get a drink, he saw his own reflection in the mirror, and he fell head over heels in love with himself. And then now I know, he cried, what others have suffered because of me, for I burn with love of my own self. And yet, how can I reach that loveliness that I see mirrored in the water? I cannot leave it. Only death can set me free. And so he has a burning, passionate attraction and love for himself. And the story goes where that's exactly what happened. So narcissist perpetually continued to gaze into the pool to see his own reflection. And the story goes he did that all the way until he died. And it's because narcissist felt like it was all about him, and he fell in love with himself. And I wonder if we were to examine our lives and the inherent selfishness that we have, that how much do we have narcissistic tendencies? Now, I'm not saying that don't love yourself. I mean, you need to love yourself in a healthy way in reflection to how God loves us. But a better role model is the moon. A moon models sort of what our role ought to be. What does the moon do? The moon itself doesn't generate any light. But in fact, the moon reflects a greater light, the sun. And if we could be understand that our role is to be like the moon, where we don't generate any light in ourselves, but we reflect the greater light of the sun. There needs to be a shift in our understanding that goes from it's all about me and to promote me and take care of me and focus on me. We need to understand that it's all about for His name, His sake, His glory. That is what he's trying to tell us this morning. If you remember the story of Moses, and he needs help. Remember, he just delivered the Israelites out of captivity, and God says, I'll do whatever you ask. And so what does Moses ask for? He could have asked for anything, and he says, I want to see your glory. Show me your glory, is the prayer of Moses. And God answers it. Bible says that his face is beaming and radiant, and his face begins to reflect the glory of God. God's glory is God's priority. All throughout scriptures, all throughout creation, we have to understand that God's glory is God's priority. He exists. God exists to showcase God. He exists to showcase God. So why did God harden Pharaoh's heart in Exodus? Why do the heavens exist? Why does God choose the Israelites? Why do we struggle in our lives? Christ taught us in the Lord's Prayer that God's reputation ought to be our priority. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Every act of heaven reveals God's glory. Every act of Jesus reveals God's glory. And so God has one goal, and that's God. For the sake of, verse 9, for the sake of my name, I'm going to delay my wrath. Where we deserve punishment and wrath, but for the sake of my name, for myself, I'm going to delay it. And it's for my praise that I restrain my wrath from you in order to not cut you off. Verse 11, for my own sake, he says it twice, I will act. For how can my name be profaned and my glory I will not give to anyone else? It's all about his glory. I'm not going to let anyone else take my glory. It's my glory. For my sake, I'm going to withhold my wrath. God has one goal, and it's himself. Now, you might ask, well, you know, how come God is into, like, self-promotion? Why does God have to, like, broadcast himself? Like, is, you know, what's with, does God have, like, low self-esteem, you know, that he needs to, like, promote himself? Well, let me give this illustration. I think it's for the same reasons for the pilot of a lifeboat. Think of it this way. The ship has sunk, and there's a lifeboat, and it's dark, it's cold. Your life jackets are deflating and they're not working. Your strength is fading. And throughout the night where it's pitch dark, you know, in your mind maybe, you know, think of the Titanic and that scene where it's just pitch dark and there's this lifeboat going through the crowd. But it's pitch dark and you can't see him. What would you want the driver of the lifeboat to do? Would you want him to just be quiet and to just quietly just drive through people, say nothing, sneak his way through the drowning passengers? Well, I wouldn't. I would want volume in this case. I would want him to shout his location. In biblical jargon, I would want him to show me the glory. I would want him to show us his glory. I would want him to say, look, I am here, promoting his location, promoting who he is, that I'm a driver of the lifeboat. The lifeboat is here. I'm on my way. I'm coming. I'm here. This is my location. I'm strong. I have room for you. I can save you. If I'm a drowning passenger, I would want the pilot to announce his presence. Wherever he is, I would want him to announce it. And so here God is, Lord, Savior, Father, Creator, and here he is. And as someone needing a Savior, I would want him to announce his presence. I would want himself to promote his own glory. I would want him to demonstrate his incredible love. I would want him to show me his glory. Is God insecure? Is he arrogant? I think John Piper one time told this illustration when we watch a great movie, and this is in regards to praise, we come to church and we sing praises to God, right? We sing worship songs, God, we love you and we praise you, things like that. It's like, wow, God must really have low self-esteem and we got to really encourage him, like, oh God, don't worry, we love you, we praise you, you're awesome God, you're a big God, as if he has low self-esteem. And for a long time I couldn't understand, if God is big, why would he need us to praise him as if he had low self-esteem or anything like that? And I think John Piper one time gave the example of, have you ever gone to a movie and really, really enjoyed it? It was probably one of the best movies you've ever seen. What happens when you come out of the theater, when you see this incredible movie? Typically, with the people next to you, you're like, oh man, that was awesome. That movie was incredible. It was off the hook. The effects was incredible. You remember when, Optimus Prime destroyed, such and such, and oh, that was crazy. Man, that was, and you begin to talk about the movie. Maybe if it's a chick flick, you talk about just like how romantic, the guy was, and, how you wish your future husband was like that. And you just begin to talk about the movie, just talk about it, and you just talk about its praises and things like that. Why do you do that? John Piper goes on to say, it's when you begin to praise the very thing that connects with your heart, it begins to complete that whole experience. And in that same way, we praise God, not for God, not because he has low self-esteem. We praise him so that it completes our experience of him. And so we praise him, not because he needs our praise. We praise him because it completes our experience. John Piper also says that if God were to deny his infinite worth of his own glory, he would cease to be God. He would imply that there's something more valuable than himself. And he himself would then commit adultery because there's implication that there's someone else greater and more glorious than him. If God is the source of absolute truth and ultimate righteousness, if he's really the most glorious being in the universe, if there's no one and nothing truly like him, then wouldn't it be kind of bizarre and illogical for our awesome creator to be unbothered if we ignore his infinite worth instead and worship unworthy things? Because God exists for himself. Why does the earth spin? For him. Why do you have talents and abilities? It's for him. Why do you have strength, or why do you even struggle? It's for him. Everything and everyone exists to reveal his glory. Behold, I have refined you, verse 10, not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction, but it's for my own sake, for my own purposes, for my own reasons, for my own glory I will act. My name will not be profaned, and my glory I will not give to another. This morning, let's just meditate upon God, and just let's get our eyes off of ourselves and realize that the world does not revolve around us. That yes, God is our comfort, and God is our Father, and God is there to embrace us, but He does not exist for us. Instead, we exist for Him. And may that be the understanding of our hearts today. Let's pray. God has one goal, and that's Himself, that His name would be known, that His glory may be shown. He wants our loved ones to know about His glory, to know about Himself. He promotes Himself not because He's an egomaniac. He promotes Himself because we need Him to do that. We need God. We need Him. May our prayers, the focus of our prayers, change from ourselves to Him. May it be, God, what do You want? What can I do to promote Your glory? May it be the prayer of Moses when God offers him, Moses, what would you like? May our prayers resonate the same way Moses answered, God, show me Your glory. Show me Yourself. Let's worship Him this morning. Let's pray for our loved ones, and as we pray for their healings, let's ask the Lord to demonstrate His glory. Let's ask the Lord to bring grace and healing and peace, and just an update on David So. He's doing a lot better. Hopefully he'll be discharged in a few days. Continue to pray for his progress and recovery from leukemia. But let's continue to pray and be encouraged that God wants to bless and heal those going through cancer right now. So let's pray for them right now. Pray for the salvation of our loved ones who are going through difficult illnesses. And let's ask the Lord to open their eyes to see the love of the Father, that they would be able to run into their arms, into His arms. And let's just begin to pray and lift them up and ask for healing and salvation. Pray for those who are struggling with other illnesses and sicknesses. Let's ask the Lord to extend His grace and healing love upon them. So let's pray for them right now. Pray for those who are looking for work and jobs. Let's ask the Lord to continue to guide them and lead them in the path that He has for them. Let's pray for the will of the Lord to be upon them. So let's pray for them right now. Pray for our mission focus for today. And today we're going to lift up North Korea, and let's pray for Chris and his family and the work that they're doing there. Let's pray for South Korea and for the gospel there and the future church plant there. Let's lift out Japan and Pastor Mitsunobu and Pastor Sophia, who will be going shortly. Let's ask the Lord to sustain them, provide for them, protect them, and to fill them with His presence. So let's lift up these three nations right now. Let's pray for our SP Ministries, for our intercessory prayer team who covers us in prayer. Let's cover them in prayer today. Let's pray for our Well Ministry, which is our prayer ministry and healing ministry. Let's pray for Cascade, which is our inner healing ministry. Let's ask the Lord to protect them from any attacks of the enemy. Let's ask the Lord to bless them and shower them with grace and wisdom and insight and revelation as they pray for our church. So let's lift up these ministries right now. Pray for men's and women's ministries, that the Lord would use these groups to bring men together and women together for Himself. And so let's pray for the leaders there and ask the Lord to really bless that group. Pray for our house churches, Soho and Harborside, meeting today, and ask the Lord to bless them, prosper them, use them to experience community and God's heart for one another. Let's pray for these house churches. Let's pray for our outreaches for Thursday. SP Lights is going out, and then there's Homie Outreach. And let's pray for the people that they encounter. Let's pray for those that are going out to serve, that they would be protected by God's presence and that they would shine the light of God to those that they reach. And so let's lift up SP Lights and Homie right now. Father, we thank you that that you are greater, Lord, that you are God, and we just want you to show us your glory and show us your presence and show us yourself, God, because we're in such need of you. And so, Lord, we just begin to lift up our activities and our events to you, because, Lord, we want you to be glorified through those things. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to be with you. We seek you, God. Would you draw us near to your heart, God? Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful time of prayer.